another episode of my Global Entrepreneur Interview Series. Today, I've invited Jenny to share her story. Hi, Jenny. Thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, no worries. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So please introduce yourself and let us know a bit about where you're from and where you're currently located.
So my name's Jenny Charncheif. Not many people can ever say that correctly. I couldn't, and that's my married name. But I help. I've kind of got like, I think I'm what you'd call multi-passionate entrepreneur, although I never really identified with that term until recently. But I do like business coaching for women similar to me, like sole traders, just to kind of help them focus on like the shit that matters in their business rather than buzzing about other stuff. And then I also help people set up a system called Dubsado, and I run a group program for that, and I do like a done for you service as well. And then I've also got a business network for women with online service businesses as well. So kind of those three things and that take up my time. I currently live in the UK, but I'm originally from New Zealand, and yeah, came over here about nearly 20 years ago. It'll be 20 years next year. Yeah,
good. So what brought you, have you lived in other countries as well, or what brought you to the UK 20 years ago?
No, I haven't lived in any other countries. So it's quite common in New Zealand to come over to the UK. Like my mum did it in the 70s, and she met my dad, and then they moved back to, well, I was actually born in Australia, so technically, yes, I have lived in another country, but I was like three when we moved to New Zealand, and my mum's from New Zealand. So, so it's quite common to come to Europe, somewhere in Europe, but usually the UK because of the links with like the UK population and stuff like that, and do something called an overseas experience. So everyone calls it your OE, and you just come over, you work, you travel around, because even in New Zealand, like you can travel like 3-4 hours to Australia, it's still really similar to New Zealand, whereas from the UK you go, you know, on a half hour flight and you're in a country that speaks like completely different language. So yeah, it's really common to do that. And I did my first one when I just turned 20, I think. But, and like my dad is from here, and my grandfather, I met him for the first time when I was just turned 20. And so had my dad's brother over here as well. So that was really cool. And that was like meeting like a whole another part of me where I was like, oh my God, these people are just like me. Whereas sometimes, you know, with my mum's side of the family, I was like, are these my people? I'm not really sure. So yeah, they're all lovely, like don't get me wrong. And then yeah, so I came over just for 6 months, did like traveling around, went back to New Zealand, had some more friends that were coming back over, and I was like, all right, I'll come over again. And that was 20 years ago. So long time. It was only meant to be 18 months.
Okay, so when you decided to go back to the UK, was it you had a job, you had already a profession, or were you going to be studying or working or finding?
Yeah, I had £500 and that was it.
And you just like...
got a job. I worked in London on like the trading floor at a company, and that was amazing fun and lots of events, and used to like organize events around Europe and stuff. So I was doing a lot of traveling like for work anyway. But yeah, it was just a fun time living in London. I was actually living with someone that I'd known since I was about five. So, and I had a group of probably about, I don't know, 15 school friends that were over here at the same time. So it was kind of like a home away from home.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned a couple of friends already, but what would you say the first, like the three things that you really appreciate or enjoy from living in the UK? And there's one thing that you miss from back home?
So the things that are really, like, obvious when you're over here is things like how accessible, like, so many other countries are. And, you know, I not so much now because we've got children and obviously because of COVID and stuff, but yeah, I would go away with my friends. Like, we would just go somewhere for a night, like go to Europe for a night or something like that, and just go and experience different cultures and that kind of thing. And so stuff like that here feels like a lot more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I guess just because of the sheer amount of people, like the number of opportunities and like finding work feels, at the time felt easier than perhaps being in New Zealand, which, you know, has not got anywhere near the size of population. And then things like, yeah, just the sheer amount of, like, choice available to you. Whereas, you know, if you in New Zealand, if you want to eat an avocado in wintertime, you can't, because there's nothing.
It's not. Yeah.
But then I think from what I miss about home is just the beaches. I think somehow I've ended up in, like, the most landlocked part of England.
Okay.
So, I don't really know, but the not being, I was never anywhere any longer than, like, 5 minute drive.
Sorry, just 1 second. I'm just going to pause.
Yes, no, that's fine. You can, sorry. I'll cut it later on. You were talking about, what was just the last point you were mentioning?
About how I was, somehow I've ended up in the most landlocked part of England, whereas before in New Zealand I was, like, you know, 5 minutes drive from a beach, from, like, 8 different beaches. So yeah, it's a bit different here. So I miss just going walking on the beach.
Definitely. Where about are you in the UK? In which region?
Northamptonshire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's really right bang in the middle.
Good. So when you were working in the UK, in London, when you got there, so what happened between working in London and then where you are now running your own business? What happened in between? How did you get to start your own business? What was the process?
Basically I moved out of London because we had like, we said we want to get somewhere to live for £150,000, and we went to an estate agent in London and he was like, are you having a laugh? And so we were like, okay, but my husband was from Northamptonshire, so we got married in New Zealand and got back home, and then he went up to Northamptonshire and I stayed in London because we hadn't really sorted all that out, and I knew that they were doing, like, redundancies where I was working, and that form, like, part of the deposit and blah blah blah. So eventually, after 4 months of being married and not living together, we finally found somewhere to live, and then so that's how we ended up in Northamptonshire. But then when I the reason I set up my business, and it was not one of these, like, oh, I'm so passionate about blah blah blah, even though that's the case now, that's not how it started. I was working in a school doing school operations, and I wanted to go and see my mum for her 70th birthday in New Zealand, and I had never and I think at the time it was, like, in about 16 years I hadn't been with her for her birthday, so I really wanted to go, but unfortunately you can't go to New Zealand for a weekend, it's just too far away. So I had to leave my job, and good job I did, because a week before the party, she got engaged to her partner, and then on the night, they threw a surprise wedding. So I was like, "Oh!" which was really cool to be there for that. But then when I got home, Well, for a bit, my father-in-law was really ill, so just sort of helped look after him. And then he passed away. And so then I was like, in the new year, I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Mm.
And I'd been looking at doing like virtual assistant work. So I just basically messaged everybody I knew saying, this is what I'm doing now. Do you know anyone or do you need it? And a guy that I had, who had been my boss before, was like, I need someone. And that's how it all started. And then somebody else who I had worked with doing events at the school was like, mm-hmm. Can you do this for me? And I said yes, and then she referred me to like five other people, and then that's how it all started.
Which date are we at that time there?
So this is just over 2 years ago.
Mm.
So I've been doing, so I started off doing like VA work, and then very quickly I was like, man, this admin is really overwhelming. There's too much admin. And so I was like, I have a computer programming, like many, many moons ago, I did computer programming.
Okay.
I was like, there must be something that can do this for me. And so that was when I found a system called Dubsado, and then someone came to me and said that I had worked with before and was like, do you know this program? Would you be able to set it up? I was like, well, yeah, I've done it for myself. So I'll do it for you. And then, yeah, that's when the business started. And then September last year, I started training as doing a coaching diploma, and that's due to finish next month. And that's what's moved me into business coaching. Yeah.
Definitely
always evolving.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's great that you've used as well, like, even though you know your tech years were many years prior to that, but you've used that as sort of, you're not afraid of tech and you're gonna go and find it out if you don't know. And there's so many as well people that kind of sometimes get stopped because they don't know how to use the technology, or because some softwares are more complicated, and you know, you find a way to help other people using your skills, even though it was kind of just a platform that you use for yourself, and then you train other people doing it, or you do it for them. So it's a great way. And I always kind of highlight as well, like, as entrepreneurs, we need to be creative in what we do. We don't need to invent something that, you know, not everyone is an innovator, and you know, there's so many different things that we can do using our skills from different professions, and as you mentioned, your backgrounds and your connection are getting new clients and that kind of thing. So it's a great way of using that. So did you get some kind of help when you got started? Did you follow some, so you mentioned that you're doing the coaching program, certification or diploma, or have you worked with coaches? Have you worked with other people? How did you get to where, you know, to get the confidence to be doing what you do? What was
Well, initially, I would say I was just totally didn't have any idea what. No, that's not true. I had a bit of an idea about how to run a business, because I'd been like on, you know, charity like boards or whatever. That I use that term very loosely because it was not really like a proper board. But so I kind of had an idea of how to run a business, you know, what you needed to do to market, like when I worked at the school, did like marketing and stuff. But I think it was just not on any kind of level as what I learned about online business stuff. So I joined a membership around marketing, that kind of thing. And then I knew kind of early on that I wanted to, I'd done like quite a lot of like personal development over the years, but I knew early on that I work on my like mindset because of how important it is and like holding you back. Like I knew that, and so I found a mindset coach, worked with her for 3 months, and then I was like, right, I don't want to mess about trying to figure out this business stuff. So then I worked with a coach on a group program just to like get the foundations like in place. I've worked with like a money mindset coach as well for a bit. So coaching was always something that I was well up for, and that's why and lots of the people that I work with for the setting up the Dub Silo stuff, that they have been coaches as well. So it was kind of like in my blood, if you like. And so then I finally went to do the certification myself, and I feel like I'm in the right place.
good. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, one of your program, what you're doing at the moment, or anything that's happening right now in your business?
Yeah, so the one that at the moment that I'm really enjoying, I had not ever done a group program before, and probably spent about 8 months going, what could I do? Mm. And, you know, some people were saying, oh, you should do what you do for me, like setting up setting up Dub Silo, you should do it as a group program. I was like, no, couldn't do that. Da, da, da. Anyway, I finally like got my stuff together and just sent a few people a message. It was actually in between Christmas and New Year. Oh, would you be interested in this? And they were. And so that started on the 1st of March. It was slightly before then, but I'm really enjoying it, and it feels like a fun way of working, like meeting up each week with a group of people, helping them out and stuff like that. Yeah, so that bit is quite exciting.
I was going to ask, do they build their system themselves? Yeah. You teach them. Yeah.
Well, it's a bit hybrid-y, like, so they have a session with me to map out their processes, and the way Dub Silo works is like a series of steps, but you have to know the steps in which order and all that kind of stuff. And so I say, this is how you do it, and then they've got like a load of videos to work through, and if they get stuck, that's when they can ask me like questions and stuff. But it's they're doing the work to set it up, but the hard bit is the foundation of knowing how the hell do you set it up, and that's the bit that I help with, because someone told me the other day they spent 80 hours setting it up. No. That's not good.
No, definitely, that's great. So what advice would you give to anyone willing to start online, and adding some of the kind of as well, like the living of that, like coming from a different country, different culture, even though for you it was kind of half and half from what you mentioned, but what would be kind of advice you would give to someone who's in that process?
Well, it's funny you say about the different culture, but like, say for example, like the Facebook groups that I've joined they just like give me that kind of community. And I know the people are in this country, but I have met up with a few of them, and that's just amazing. And it's kind of like takes your relationships like to the next kind of level. And so I would sort of say like find people that, you know, are in the same boat as you, because it doesn't matter how many times you talk, I talk about it with my husband, you can just see, he's like, oh God, here we go again. Whereas these people don't mind, you know, they don't mind if you're talking about the same thing as last week or whatever, they're in the same boat. I would do that. But I think in terms of business advice, I mean, it really depends on what you want to achieve, I suppose, because you know, you've got some people who are happy to just learn, you know, take a couple of years to learn or whatever, but then someone like me, I'm quite, you know, I quite like taking action and stuff. And so I knew that I just wanted to shortcut, get someone to tell me like roughly what the foundations are, and I'll take it from there rather than searching, trawling the internet and stuff like that. But I think what I would, in terms of like getting your first client, I would say just message everybody that you know, because when people know, like, and trust you already, it's so much easier to get like those referrals and those clients, and then once you've got one, and then another one will come, that kind of thing. I would probably, again, I would do the mindset thing again, I think, because it just I would work on my mindset like from the start, because it just it holds up so many things if you've got these blocks. And it's much easier when you don't have the blocks to get on the stuff. And then possibly I would do something maybe around which I will. Yeah, I would have done earlier was around like values, like what my values are, and so that to know that if when things are feeling uncomfortable, then I'm perhaps working outside of my values. And to not compromise on them, because you know it, just because a client's paying you money doesn't mean it's going to be a fun fun client to work with. Or probably those three things, I think.
Great. Where can we find you online at the moment?
So I'm mainly on Facebook at the moment. I have got an Instagram profile. I'm not massively active on there, but my Facebook group is called The Biz Hookup, and it's just a bit of fun for online service-based businesses who are women, and that's mainly where I'm more active, I would say. Yeah.
Perfect. So I'll put the details as well in the video description and on the blog post where this interview will be published on sabitfem.com/interviews. Do you have a website as well that can we go and check out your program, or is it inside the Facebook group?
Well, the program's not on yet.
No, okay.
yes. Well, after this round, it will be on there. So because I was like, oh, will I run it again? I don't know, but I will be. So
okay.
So yeah. So jennyshanji.com is the website.
Perfect. Great. Well, thank you very much, Jenny, for sharing your story and to give a little bit more information about what you do and how you came to do what you currently do. It's always interesting to see the progress and what, you know, how people are using what you've done in the past in different situations and created something from that. Even your latest program, which is actually something that you were not planning to do, but it's kind of using your experience, and people value as well the fact that you've done it yourself, and then so that they can learn from that experience as well. So it's great. Thank you very much for joining us, and I'm sure a lot of people will check out your group, your Facebook group. I'll put a link as well in all the descriptions so that they can join and connect with you.
Thank you. It's been really nice chatting to you. Really lovely. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Jenny.
Bye-bye.